Welcome to the magical land of radio, where adventure is yours for the twist of the dial. I'm Tom Bosley, your guide in this wonderful and exciting world. In the weeks before, you've met many heroes, but today you shall meet the young man who was probably the first of all heroes. His name is Jason, and when he went forth on his dangerous quest for the Golden Fleece many thousands of years ago, he set the style for all the adventures that have been told since. Our adventure story, Jason and the Golden Fleece, was written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Paul Tripp. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Where
I can bet it.
We've inherited many wonderful ideas from the ancient Greeks. Democracy, mathematics, geography, astronomy. The art of storytelling was also invented in Greece. Even the word hero is Greek. It means a man of courage and daring. The stories we tell about these heroes are called myths or fables. Our adventure today is a real believe-it-or-not story. Now, you don't have to believe it, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It begins on the top of a mountain in ancient Greece.
Jason, my son, let us search the valley below with our eyes.
What should I look for, Father?
There it is, my son. Behold, Athens, the golden city of Greece.
But you've shown it to me before. Why now again?
Today you have reached the age of 20, and it is time you heard the truth. Once I ruled in that city, king of all Greece.
If that is so, then why do we live on this mountaintop instead of in the palace of Athens?
Because another king now rules in my place. My younger brother, Peleus.
You gave up your crown to him?
Nay, he took it from me. He incited my soldiers against me and seized my kingdom. You were 2 years old then, Jason.
Why did you not fight back?
Because in a war, many innocent people die. I wish no bloodshed. I took you in my arms and fled to this mountaintop. I wish to hide you from my brother's eyes. Had he found you, he would have killed you. For you are the true heir to his throne.
Then I must go to Athens and take it back.
Ah, I had hoped you would say that. I have waited long for this day.
But, Father, how shall I prove that I am the rightful king?
Here. Hang my sword from your belt. My brother Peleus will recognize it. The rest is up to you. You must go now. And may the gods who dwell upon Mount Olympus keep watch over you.
Well, soothsayer, have you discovered the reason why my nights are so sleepless?
I have, mighty King Peleus. For 7 nights I have read the stars. They say, beware of a man who shall come tomorrow wearing but one sandal, for he shall take your kingdom from you and keep it.
Do the stars say who this man is?
No, your majesty.
The stars lie. No man will ever take my kingdom from me.
You there! Why do you block the road to Athens? Let me pass.
Why, what manner of beast are you? With the face of a woman on a winged lion's body?
They that know me call me the Sphinx and are afraid.
I'm not afraid. Now let me pass.
Take your hand away from your sword. No one can kill me. If you answer my riddle, I will let you pass.
Ask. What is your riddle?
What is it that in the morning goes on 4 feet? At noon on 2, and in the evening on 3.
It goes on 4 feet in the morning, on 2 feet at noon, and on 3 feet in the evening. Well, that's very simple. The answer is man. Now let me pass.
Not so fast. First, you must give me your reasoning.
If you insist, the answer is man, because in the morning of his life, he crawls on all fours. His 2 hands and his 2 feet. In the noon of his life, when he has become strong, he walks on 2 feet. But when the evening of his life has come and he is old and needs support, he takes a staff for his 3rd foot. Now will you let me pass?
At last, my riddle has been answered. There is no longer room for me in Greece.
Where shall you go?
To the desert in Egypt, where I shall sit in front of the three pyramids there and meditate forever, and never again shall man hear me speak. Go, Jason. Your road to Athens is open. One word of warning. In a little while, you will come to a raging stream which will bar your way.
No matter. I shall find a bridge.
No. You must wade through the stream, for in the stream you shall find your fortune.
Cross this raging stream.
Oh, there! Old man! Why are you so foolish to wish to cross here? Are you anxious to drown?
I must be in Athens by nightfall, else my son, with whom I live, will be concerned for me.
Old man, since we are both set on going to Athens, we will cross this stream together. Here, climb on my back, and I will carry you.
May the gods bless you for this kindness.
No, not so tight around my neck, or we'll both drown. Hold my hand. I will pull you. It's not so far to the bank now. Oh, there.
Safe at last. Oh, thank you, young man.
What's wrong?
One of your sandals is missing. You must have lost it in the stream.
Let me pass! I command you! Where is he? Where is the king who is so frightened of strangers? Let him rise and fight for his kingdom like a man.
Put your sword away. How dare you greet your king so rudely?
You are not my king, Peleus. I am yours.
What madness do you speak?
Look closely on my sword. Tell me if you recognize it.
Why, it's the sword of my brother. I thought he was dead.
No, uncle. He lives, and I, his son, Jason, live as well.
Well, so my long-lost nephew comes to visit me after so many years.
You know I am the rightful king. I ask for nothing but my rightful throne.
Nothing else?
Your Majesty, this is no laughing matter. Look, the boy Jason wears but one sandal.
What?
Remember the warning of the stars. Beware of a stranger who comes wearing but one sandal, for he shall take your kingdom from you and keep it.
What is it, uncle? Why have you turned so pale? Or has your soothsayer told you some bad news?
No, but suddenly I feel faint. Leave me, my dear nephew, for a moment while I recover.
I warn you, uncle. You and your soothsayer may plot all you like, but I have come to stay.
Now tell me, soothsayer, what is to be done?
Send Jason off on a dangerous journey from which he will not return. Send him to fetch the golden fleece which hangs from an oak tree at the farthest edge of the world. Others have ventured to find it, but none have returned.
An ingenious plan, soothsayer. You will be well rewarded. There, Jason, come back.
And what have you decided, uncle?
Why should we quarrel? I'm getting old and my crown has grown heavy on my head. Therefore, I shall give my kingdom to you if you prove yourself worthy of my crown.
And how would you have me prove my worthiness?
By being a hero and achieving that which has never been achieved before. Is that not a reasonable request?
For once, uncle, you speak the truth. What is this great deed you have in mind for me?
Bring me the golden fleece that rests in the kingdom of Colchis in the Black Sea.
The golden fleece? My father once told me about it. How there were 1,000 dangers to overcome before one could reach the golden fleece. Are you trying to trick me?
Oh, there are a few dangers, I admit. But you're a brave, strong lad, aren't you? Are you afraid?
Afraid? I shall go. And when I return, I shall hurl the golden fleece in your face
and we shall see which one of us is more afraid.
Good, then it's a bargain. You will need a ship, of course. I shall have it built for you by Arcas, the finest shipbuilder in Greece. Go to him now and tell him I will pay him well.
Suddenly, Uncle, you are very generous. I wonder why. Let's examine your design once more, Argus, before the hammer starts swinging. Yes, the mast and sail are well conceived, and the ship is pierced for 50 oars. Well done, Argus. Now, but remember, the ship must be so light that it can be carried on land by my crew for 12 days. Now, start building while I seek 50 men to sail in it.
What lies ahead for Jason? Perhaps only the Sphinx knows, and the Sphinx will not tell. For the Sphinx has kept its promise. Even today, it sits silently in front of the three pyramids in the Sahara Desert in Egypt. Not one single word has it uttered in all the thousands of years since the riddle was answered. But there is a mysterious smile on its face. What does the Sphinx know that we don't? I'll be back shortly with Act Two. General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. What is this golden fleece that Jason should risk his life to find it? True, there once was a golden ram, the only one of its kind. And true, its fleece was of the purest gold. But do men risk great danger just to find gold? Or is it something else that drives them? When the first man who ever reached the top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain peak in the world, was asked why he did it, perhaps that is why Jason and his 50 heroes seek the Golden Fleece. Because it is there to test how brave they are.
Jason, by the gods, it is a beautiful ship. Argus, my shipbuilder, has done well by you.
That he has, Uncle. And for that reason, the ship is named after him. The Argo.
Ah, a noble name. But why do you not sail? I see your crew waiting with their oars.
There are only 48 of them. I need two more.
Not any longer, Jason, for we are here. I am called Nestor. And that mountain of a man who approaches behind me is known as Hercules.
Nestor, I've heard of you. Are you not called Nestor the Wise?
By others, perhaps. But not by me. Only a fool would call himself a wise man.
But I am not so modest. I am Hercules, the strongest man in the world. And it would be foolish to deny it.
You are both welcome. Will you come with me on my journey?
That is why we are here. Your father, who is our friend, asked us to join you. I to advise you.
And I to perform whatever physical labors that may be required.
Then my crew of Argonauts is complete. We sail now. And Peleus, I pray you keep the crown polished and bright while I am gone. For when I return, you yourself shall place it on my head. Ho there! Hoist the sail!
Do not fear, your majesty. Jason will not return.
Do the stars say so?
I have not asked them. See how like a tiny feather the ship tosses on the water.
Aye.
Can it survive the dangers that lie ahead? Do you think, my lord, that the fierce king of Colchis would let them leave with a golden fleece alive?
In the name of Zeus, never have I been on a journey so tedious. Oh, there, Jason. Where are the dangers you promised me? I am getting bored.
Be patient, Hercules. It seems as if the gods have heard you. What say you, Nestor?
Hi, Jason. The gods are sending a storm. See the black, angry clouds racing across the sky, Hercules.
This is more like it. Blow, winds! Come to my arms and I will turn you into gentle breezes.
Row me alive! Sit down, Hercules, and row. The gods are stronger than you. Fight with the sea if you must. Row!
Oh, what a marvelous storm this is,
Jason! Turn your helm and let us head for that mass of land over yonder. Perhaps we may find a sheltered bay and escape the storm.
Oh! Ah. Oh.
is calmer here. Let us rest here for the night. Stay here until the storm dies down. And Hercules, the next time you wish to complain about there being no danger, I pray you speak more softly. The gods have sharp ears.
Wake up, strangers. Who gave you permission to sleep on the shores of my kingdom?
Who disturbs my sleep? Who dares?
I dare. I am Amycus, king of this land of fishermen. No stranger enters my land without my leave.
In my land, strangers are treated as guests. Since I see you are a barbarian, we will leave at once. Up, everybody. We're leaving. We're not welcome here.
Not so fast. No stranger may quit my country without having boxed with me. You see my hands? They are already bound with strips of leather. Now let the best man among you step forth, and we shall box.
By the gods, I am ready for some sport. Put up your fists, your majesty, and I will give you a lesson in hospitality.
No, Hercules. Perhaps you are the best man among us, but I am your leader. I will box with this king, who has no manners.
But Jason, he is twice your size. He will break you in two.
We shall soon see. Here, Nestor, tie these leather strips around my fists.
You are mad, Jason. He will destroy you. Let me...
No, Hercules. Jason is our leader. It is his right.
Well, very well. Now remember, Jason, strike his jaw with all your might. He will sleep well, I promise you.
No, that is dangerous advice. If Jason comes close enough to strike him, he will also come close enough to be struck. Stay away from him, Jason.
You there, King Amycus. I am ready. Here is my jaw. Let me see you strike it, if you can.
A good target. How can anybody miss? Here I come!
He missed you, Jason. Now you strike it here.
No, Jason, no!
Are you blind, Your Majesty? I showed you my jaw. Why did you strike the air instead?
I shall not miss again.
Oh, what a clumsy king you are.
Are you a dancer or a fighter?
Catch me and find out.
All right, then. Here is my jaw. Strike it if you dare.
No, Jason, no!
Are you man or butterfly? Stand still, I tell you. Oh, cowardly boy. Let me have just one blow. One blow.
You may have all the blows you like, but you'll have to catch me first.
One blow. Just one blow.
Hi, Zeus. The king is on his knees. I did not see Jason striking.
I can fight no longer. I cannot breathe.
You may catch your breath if you like. I can wait.
No. No. I have had enough.
But I did not see Jason strike him. Why is the king stretched out on the sand?
Because a lion can never catch a butterfly.
Wisely spoken. Give me your hand, Jason. Huh? That is your name, boy. Come now. Come to my palace, and I will entertain you with a great feast.
Thank you. But the golden fleece awaits us, and we have lost too much time as it is.
The golden fleece? Oh, that is a dangerous journey you make. You will never live to see it.
How do you know? Have you read the stars?
Oh, but I know the Black Sea to which you must sail if you would reach Colchis, where the golden fleece is.
Tell us what you know, then, in the name of our newly found friendship.
I will, boy. Beware. As you enter the mouth of the Black Sea, two floating islands lie secretly in wait there. When anything or anybody, even a bird, ventures to enter the mouth of the Black Sea, these two islands suddenly come together with a great crash and crush whatever comes between them. No one has ever been known to escape them.
We shall find a way.
I have been thinking. If we reach Colchis safely, how shall we win the Golden Fleece?
We will fight for it, if we have to.
Oh, it would be better not to fight. We would be outnumbered. I think
We should first try peaceful means. Give a precious gift to the king, perhaps, that he may look kindly upon us.
That would be wise, but we have nothing precious on board with us.
I know of a garden where grow the golden apples of Atlas the Giant. Next to the fleece, there is nothing more precious.
But do you know where these golden apples may be found?
I have studied the maps and know where to go. Give me the helm, Jason, and I will steer us there. Jason, do you see that tall mountain that rises on the coast of Africa? On top of it, you will see Atlas, crouched over with the weight of the heavens which he carries on his back.
Welcome, strangers. It is lonely on top of this mountain.
I am Hercules, O mighty giant. And this is Jason, captain of our ship. We seek the golden apples that grow in your secret garden.
You may seek forever, but I will not tell you where they are hidden. But if you wish, I will fetch them for you.
But is that possible? If you take the great sky from off your shoulders and set it down, will not the earth be crushed under the weight?
True. Perhaps your friend there can carry my burden on his shoulders for a few moments while I get the golden apples. He seems strong enough.
By Zeus, and so I am. Here, Atlas, I will kneel down. Now, place the heavens on my shoulders.
Now, careful, Hercules, or you will drop the sky and the earth will come to an end.
It is steady on my shoulders now. Go quickly, Atlas. This is a heavy burden.
I shall return in a moment. Here, Jason, here are 3 golden apples for you. Use them well. And now I must go.
Go! And leave me here forever with the heavens on my back?
Why not? I've carried them on my back for too many years. Now I'm weary.
Jason, the giant has tricked us. Do something.
Be calm, Hercules. Atlas, a moment, please.
Well?
My friend is willing to carry your burden for you, but he is not used to such labor. Take the sky back on your shoulders, but for a moment, while I place a pad on his back to ease the strain.
Oh, very well. Let me have it, Hercules. I will hold the sky for you, but only for a moment, mind you. Hurry, Jason. I would be away from this mountaintop. Hey, where are you two going?
To continue our journey, of course. Did you think we would stay here forever?
You have tricked me!
Look, Jason, the Black Sea at last. We are almost at journey's end.
But where are the floating islands we were warned about?
Probably lying in wait for us until we sail closer.
We must tempt them to show themselves. Hercules, you are a great archer. Shoot an arrow high into the air ahead of us. Now we shall see. There. Yes, there are the islands.
We shall never be able to pass between them without being crushed.
See how they withdraw once they have crashed. Should we tempt them again, Jason?
There's no other way. But before you shoot the arrow, Hercules, let all 50 oarsmen be ready to row with all their might when I give the word. Now, Hercules, shoot! Here come the islands again. Ready, everybody? Now! Row! Row! Everybody, quickly! Row before they come together again!
That was a close one. They missed us by a hair.
Aye. We are now safely in the Black Sea.
Give thanks to the gods, my brave company. And look yonder where the tall towers of the land of Colchis gleam in the sun. Give thanks, for half our journey is done.
You have just heard Unbelievable Things. And yet there are some grains of truth hidden there. The golden apples. Now, there are such things. But today we call them oranges. And Atlas, who carried the sky on his shoulders. On the northern coast of Africa, there's a chain of peaks so high, the sky seems to sit on them. And they're called the Atlas Mountains. From one tiny grain of truth, a great story can grow. We'll be back shortly with Act Three. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Listening to right now.
When Jason and his Argonauts set out on their long journey, they were the first men who dared to sail on seas that had never been sailed before. Now, that should have been enough to satisfy any ordinary hero. But Jason had a far greater goal in mind, the Golden Fleece. His greatest enemy now is not the treacherous sea, but the crafty king of Colchis, Aetes, before whom Jason now stands with his friends.
I, Aetes, lawful king of Colchis, greet the strangers from a faraway land. And to you, young Jason, I offer my thanks for these three golden apples.
You are most welcome, gracious king.
Speak bluntly, Jason. What do you want?
The golden fleece.
As simple as that, eh? And if I do not give it to you, what then?
Then we shall fight for it.
Bloodshed is not to my taste. I like you, Jason. You shall have the golden fleece if you prove you are worthy of it.
And what will satisfy you as to my worthiness?
You will perform three simple tasks.
Name them.
First, you must plow the earth that lies before me. And out of the kindness of my heart, you may borrow my two bulls to help you plow 10 furrows in the field.
Careful, Jason. There is a trick hidden in his kindness. There is no choice, Nestor. Very well, Aetes. Give me your bulls, and I will plow.
Bring out my bronze bulls.
Jason, I cannot let you do this. See how huge those beasts are. They breathe angry fire through their nostrils.
Nestor, will you advise me?
Here, take my crimson cloak and go out into the field. The bulls are at opposite ends. Goad them, taunt them with my cloak, and just as they are about to catch you between them, quickly jump out of the way. The rest will be simple.
If I am fast enough. Give the signal, Aetes. Off off the bulls.
This is madness. He will be killed. I cannot bear to look.
Oh, my pretty bronze bulls. Come and see my pretty red cloak. There, catch it on your horns and play with it. Now, Jason, jump!
What happened? Is Jason still alive?
See for yourself. The bulls have collided with their heads and knocked themselves almost senseless. See how tame your bulls are, Aetes. Now I will yoke them to plow, and you shall have your 10 furrows. Forgive the crookedness of my furrows, O king.
The earth is ready for the planting. Here, take this helmet filled with the teeth of a dragon. Drop them gently into the earth. That is the second task.
Nestor, is the king out of his mind? What crop will grow from dragon's teeth? Certainly not barley or wheat.
No, Hercules, most certainly not. Nestor, I have plowed and I have planted, though what the crop will be, I cannot guess.
There is your crop, Jason. 1,000 armed men sprung from the earth, each thirsting for your blood.
And what concern is that of mine?
That of a good farmer. Draw your sword and cut them down, for it is harvest time.
Jason, he has tricked you. This time you must let me help you, or you are a dead man.
Wait! Do you not see how blind with rage these earthborn warriors are? You are right, Nestor. There is no need for your help, Hercules. If I hurl my helmet among them and strike them,
They will turn upon each other, thinking one has attacked the other.
Draw your swords, O men of dragon's teeth. Jason is among you.
Here goes the helmet.
Who's afraid?
Well done, Jason. There remains but the third task.
And that is?
To take the Golden Fleece itself, of course. You will find it in the dark forest that lies yonder, hanging from an oak tree.
This forest is as dark as night. No, wait. What is that light shining through the trees?
Perhaps it is the fleece. What else could shine so brightly?
It is the Golden Fleece hanging from an oak tree.
Ugh, its brightness blinds my eyes. Shall I take it down from the oak tree for you, Jason?
Wait. Look there. Two eyes gleaming at us from the foot of the tree.
It is only a serpent coiled around the tree.
This is no ordinary serpent, my friend. I remember once hearing that the woman known as the Medusa had a brother who was a serpent.
The Medusa? Whose face turned all who looked upon it to stone?
The Medusa's brother who guards the fleece has the same powers.
I have a plan. Nestor, loan me your silver shield. It is polished to the brightness of a mirror. If the serpent sees itself in this mirror, perhaps it will turn itself into stone. Now stand back while I advance to the tree.
You've done it, Jason! I can now step on this stone serpent and take down the fleece. Here it is, my wise boy. You have earned it.
Thank you. Now we must go before the king changes his mind. Pull with all your might, because there on shore stands Aegis.
Jason, give me back my golden fleece.
I will give it back to you, O king who breaks his word, when you catch me.
And by Zeus I will. Oh, there, my sea captains, we will give chase to these pirates who have stolen my fleece.
Pull, men, pull. For never will I give up this golden fleece.
You may have to, Jason. Aegis is gaining on us.
Jason, throw the fleece into the sea, that I may have it back again, and I will spare your lives.
Jason, why not give him back his golden fleece?
What are you saying, Hercules? Have you turned coward?
No. Look upon the yellow lion skin I wear across my chest. In the setting sun, does it not look as golden as your fleece?
Yes.
You will throw my lion skin into the sea and tell Aeetes it is his golden fleece. And then we'll have more time to escape.
It may work, Jason. It is our only chance.
Very well. Hold there, Aeetes! Will you indeed spare our lives if I return your golden fleece?
I will. I swear it by Olympus.
And here it is! Behold! I have thrown it into the sea!
It worked! Look how his fleet has slowed its pace to pick up the fleece!
Now, men, we must row harder and harder and keep the lead we have gained. Here, pull! Pull, men, pull! Dusk has fallen. We may yet escape them. They will never find us in the blessed night.
Sea captains! Let the fleet row to the mouth of the sea and wait there! We shall catch our fish in the morning!
I spoke too hastily. We are trapped. Have we another brilliant thought?
Where will the king look for us? At sea, of course. But will he look for us on land? Steer for the shore, Jason. We may yet escape.
Jason, let us leave the Argo here and start climbing.
No, I will not leave our faithful ship here. It has carried us across the seas for so long. Now we shall carry it across the mountains. Come, let us lift it onto our shoulders. It was built light enough for us to carry it. Look below, my comrades. Athens waits for us. Let us set down our ship. Come, my friends. Come to Athens and see me crowned king of Greece at last.
No, Jason. You shall go alone.
The Golden Fleece is yours. Let the glory of the homecoming be yours as well.
He is right. Besides, we have been gone too long from our own homes.
I shall abide your wishes, but before we part, let us burn our ship on this mountaintop as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the gods who watched over us for so long. Hercules, set the torch to the ship.
Soothsayer, what is the cause of this disturbance in the city?
It looks like your nephew Jason.
Then the stars did not lie to you. I must be resigned to my fate and go forth to meet him.
Here is the Golden Fleece, uncle. Now, will you give me the crown, or must I fight for it as well?
No, nephew. I am too old for fighting, and you have earned the crown. Herald, sound the trumpet! Citizens of Athens, people of Greece, make welcome to your new ruler. Long live Jason, King of Greece!
The Golden Fleece was real. It was no trick of the imagination. In the great gold rush of 1849 in California, miners used sieves which they filled with dirt containing gold dust and then swished them in the streams. Now the dirt washed away and the gold remained. In ancient days, the Greeks also panned for gold, but instead of a sieve, they used the fleece of a sheep, which caught the gold dust and thus actually became a golden fleece. And that is how the great legend of Jason and his Argonauts was born. I'll return shortly. Ancient Greece was known for its real heroes as well as its mythological ones. There were the sports heroes who competed in the Olympic Games, just as we do every 4 years today. There was Leonidas, who with 300 Spartan soldiers held off the great Persian armies and thus saved Greece. And, of course, there was Alexander the Great, who conquered the world when he was only in his mid-20s. To seek excellence is the mark of a true hero. To achieve excellence is possible for all of us.
Our cast included Christopher Tabori, Ian Martin, Leon Janney, Court Benson, Earl Hammond, and Paul Tripp. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.